What up? This is Bam Erickson, a.k.a. Petty Pablo, and we back! We are back. Let's go. DJ, drop it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I just come from the poet's part.
What up, what up, what up, what up?
Yes.
Yep. Somebody finna bust a rap?
Check, check, yo.
Man, I gotta make it. Hey, there we go.
Twists and turns, bumps and bruises.
Okay.
Live, I learn.
Y'all don't know how excited I am to be on this panel.
He was rapping the whole entire song. We had to go in front of. Yes, he was.
I definitely was.
Yes. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Bam Erickson, and we are back for Power Season 4, Episode 1, When I Get Out. And you can follow me on all social media, mm-hmm. and I want to introduce you to the panel.
It's your boy Jimmy V, Twitter, Instagram, at Be Your Own Dad. Go check me out.
Ooh, that was fast.
I got it now.
I'm a special guest, Alexander Popovich. I play special guitar guest on Power. You can find me on Instagram, Alexander Popovich _.
You got to find him on Instagram, mm-hmm. okay? And then you can find me as well. I am Robin Ayer. So glad to be back, you guys. Hey!
All right, so in one word, how would you describe the premiere for season 4?
Incredible.
Okay. Robin?
Set up.
That was a compound word there.
It was a compound word.
Alex?
Mischievous.
That's a good one.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Yourself?
Fantastic.
Nice. Good word.
We have a lot to discuss. And so, okay, so we have... we have Tommy. I'm sorry. We have a ghost. Mm-mm. He's out of jail. Mm-hmm. So, as he's going in, we see the phone ring. He can't answer it. He's dropping his items into the bin, and then he starts to reflect back. He reflects back to Tasha telling him, you shouldn't have messed with that girl. We see Tommy. Proctor has told him, don't mess with them, Greg Knox. So he's going through his head of all of the things, like look what I've got myself into. Mm. So, should Ghost have listened to other people, or was he right to follow his heart?
Well, you already know what I feel. Like, now, it's so funny, because I used to ride so hard. You guys know, like, for Angela and Ghost. I was team Angie Ghost, but... now it's like, oh, you know what I mean? I'm just feeling like I'm so mad that he went through everything that he did and now he's in this predicament. So, of course, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You're like, right. no, don't mess with her.
Right.
Yeah.
I think up until this point, Ghost thought he was indestructible. Like, I think he was Superman. Mm-hmm. Everybody's telling me this and that. It's fine. I'm good. I'm always two steps ahead of the game until the kryptonite came, mm-hmm. aka Angela, and now we see where he's at now.
And that was my other question. Is this karma? I mean, technically, he is a murderer, mm-hmm. not for this specific crime, mm-hmm. but he has murdered. So is this karma?
What goes around comes around.
That's what they say.
You got to pay for your sins at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was deep. That was deep.
I'm mad though, guys. I did not want Ghost to get caught up. Maybe I'm cheering for the bad side of him, but there was just something in me that was like, Ghost, no, don't.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
But there's something about his bad side that is coming from the heart, right?
Right, right.
Like when he, you know, him chasing Angie, he was, you know, he was following his heart. And like, so everybody kind of rooted for that. But at the same time, I mean, the man's got kids and he's got all these responsibilities and he got caught up.
He got caught up. Well, let's just say something before we continue. Mm-hmm. Alex plays Pitar on the show. Let's make sure that everybody knows that. You play Pitar, and so...
Should I do the rest of
Yes!
Yes! He wants me to do like this.
Yes!
We're going to have big problems.
Yes!
Because he's not a nice guy.
I got to say, when we met, I said, you're... totally different guy. Like, it's amazing. So your character is really, really great on this show.
Thanks.
You know what, guys?
Why, thank you.
I walked in the studio and passed by him, and then I was like, was that him? I don't know. But then, once again, man, he's just got that talent, and then especially when you cut your hair, you're a whole different person.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That was by design.
I was going to ask that later on. were you doing another role after you guys taped season 3 that they had you cut your hair?
Well, I did, but it was a conscious decision for me to keep that for season 4. I thought this was an opportunity for Petar to transform himself and purge himself of this previous life with Milan and being his number 2. And I feel like he just needed to shed that skin and start over. And, and now he's like, you know, it's like LeBron James switching teams. Like, he's on the other team now.
Yeah.
Right? So I felt like he just needed a fresh look.
And we're going to get back to that. Going back to Ghost really quickly about him now in jail. I was on the fence. People had been asking me, was I going to drag him? But, you know, and I wasn't really sure what I was going to say and how I felt about this because I can see both sides. Yeah. But, yeah, I think I'm going to be Petty Pablo and say that's what his ass gets. you saw all the signs coming.
Yeah, you definitely did.
You got what you deserve. And then also you had Proctor who... We got to see a different side of him as well.
Yeah.
So we open up with Proctor, and don't worry, we're going to get to Tasha after this. Okay. But Proctor gets a call from James, and his baby mom, his wife, we're not sure who she is, but there's a lot of wretchedness that is going on. And the one thing that we hear the wife, the whoever she is, say, if you take my daughter away from me, I'm going to lie and say that you're the one that got me caught up in the drugs. And so we see him later on the phone with Tasha while the daughter's in back with the hoodie and the cap. So I'm just kind of wondering, what's your take on Proctor's situation? Because we always knew he wasn't necessarily the best lawyer.
Right.
Well, we always knew that he had like a crooked side because there were, you know, certain insinuations toward that. But I think now it's just I said this when I was watching the show, nothing is done for no reason. Like everything has a reason on there, you know, and it'll come up at some point in time, just down to the very minute thing. So I like that. I like that because it's going to open up a whole storyline later. So I'm interested to see how that's going to play out. But it's just letting us in on a little bit of his dirt, you know?
And it reminds me of a word I learned back in like the 7th grade. It was like foreshadowing or something
that's pretty much
giving us the alley-oop to something later on down the road that I'm sure we'll find out about.
And although he clearly took his daughter against his the mom's wishes, although he was dressed very incognito, but he's also seemed like he didn't give a damn. So I'm just curious to see where this goes. And the character who plays Proctor is Jerry Ferreira, who is now a season regular.
Nice.
Yeah. Versus last year, he was a reoccurring. So with him being a series regular, there's more to the story. And so do we all agree that he's probably not the best person to represent James, who is on trial for killing an FBI agent?
I do not agree.
I think he's the best person.
I think he is the best one because they're in the same situation.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
If I'm dirty, I want somebody who I can trust. Somebody who else is dirty. You also dirty. You know what I mean? Like a little bit. You got like a little bit of grime on you as well. And that, you know some things to kind of get me up out of this situation. You know some things to say. You know some manipulation. So I think he's perfect for Ghost in this situation.
I'll change my mind. I think I agree now. Yeah. I was thinking because he doesn't seem to have certain legal abilities that it seemed like the other lawyers have. He knows how to do the dragging and the pulling, but he didn't come off as very strategic. And we're going to get to that courtroom scene in just a second. Let's get into Tasha. So Tasha stands by Ghost. Okay, she stands by him.
She's Proctor loyal.
Proctor warns Tasha not to tell James about Tariq and to get $2 million in clean money. So Proctor obviously knows what their other hustle is.
Yes.
So is she doing the right thing after all what he did? I can name some things that he did I could be petty.
Remind us, please.
He cheats. He leaves her for Angie.
Speak.
He took all the money out of the safe. Then he left a note, didn't notify her that the money was gone. I mean, Tariq is hella bad now. I mean, I can go on and on as to all the terrible things that he's done to her.
Yeah.
But she's still by him.
Yeah.
What do you think?
She said on season 3, she was talking to Tommy, I believe it was, and she said, I'm still his wife, and he's still the father of my children. Mm-hmm. So she's got to protect him, even if she has to protect him from himself. Mm-hmm. So Tasha, listen, we've already known Tasha's a certified rider.
She is.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I got to give her. It's just like, I love the fact that she just handles herself so well when it comes to him and all the things that he puts her in, whether it's unexpected or she knows about it. Mm-hmm. She just knows how to like conduct herself in that moment. And I give her props for that. That's like, to me, what a down-ass chick would be. You know what I'm saying? So I dig it.
And they got three kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need, you know, she needs all the help that she can get, especially with the way Rick is acting.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But she's like, come home. Oh, my God. Ghost, come home.
Will there ever be a breaking point? Because when she went to visit him in jail, one of the first things that he says was, he asked about the kids. He says, I'm going to make it up to my kids, and then I'm going to make it up to all of you guys. Mm-hmm. At some point, it's like, please.
Yeah.
How are you going to make this up?
He's in a tough situation, but as we've seen in the past seasons, Ghost always pulls through somehow. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how he's going to be able to make it up to his family, but when he gets out, because I know he's gonna be able to. I think it's how he handles the situation with Angela is how he'll repay back his family.
What's your take before we move on to Angela?
I think that he can make up for everything by getting out of this situation and being a father to his children and you know, creating some type of normalcy. I think Tasha just wants to have that season one, episode one life back. You know?
Yeah.
I think she just wants it to be, you know, what it was.
I agree.
And she's holding on to that for her life.
And
let's not forget season one, Tasha was in the back of the truck now. I ain't gonna say doing what, but she's done her dirt too.
Yeah, she has, but I think that was payback. That was, you know what I mean? Yeah, it wasn't like she was really feeling it. And I agree though, Alex, I think that she certainly wants that life back, and to a large degree, I feel like the audience wants that life back for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we're kind of pulling for them.
So speaking of Angie, is she crazy to think that she could just run this case about her ex-boyfriend being charged for the death
of her
other ex-boyfriend?
That she didn't even like that?
Is she...
Yeah, she's insane because, I think what it is that she's emotionally attached. She's just so involved, and she's like, yeah, this is my case. Like, I'm the one who got this far. You guys wouldn't have had anything without me. And so she's sort of, not delirious, but we can tell she's a little unstable. She was in the, you know, she was drinking the wine. She dropped the wine glass. Her mind is a little bit everywhere. And I think that she just really... I don't know. She's just caught up in her emotions right now.
Yeah, this is 1,000% personal.
Yes.
Whereas for everybody else, it's just, you know, business and power and everything. But for her, this is like so much more.
Yeah, definitely. She's,
and we can all agree, do we feel that she's doing this because emotions, she's hurt, he broke up with her, he's going back to the wife? Do you feel like majority, 90, 75% is majority her emotions?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's all of her emotions, but I do think that I went back and I watched a lot of season three.
Lucky you, it wasn't online until yesterday.
Okay, they played it for, you know, I don't know if you guys have like DirecTV, you know, but shout out. So thanks for that, you know, I could catch up. So I watched several episodes from season three, and what I noticed was that she really started to think, like, I need to get Ghost because if not... I'm going to be the one.
Yeah.
So I think it started kind of with that. I could be wrong, but I think it kind of started with, you know, I got to get him in trouble in order to kind of like get me clear. And then when she, I think it started to become definitely more emotional and more of like, I got to get you back type of thing. The more it went on, but I think it started a different way.
Also, and because I did watch a tidbit of the finale of season three, and when they were in the coffee shop or something, he said to her, "I will do anything to protect you, Angie." And at that point, Ghost didn't know that Greg was dead. Angie did, so she kind of removed her hand because now she's thinking
you would even kill somebody.
That you would even kill him to protect me.
Yeah.
Good point.
So. Wow. Yeah. Technically, she can possibly think that Ghost really did kill Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
I think she really does believe that.
I think so too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's the one who found the fingerprint. Mm-hmm. You know, she's the one who found that it was Ghost's fingerprint. Yeah. So it's like, I think she 100% believes that it was him.
I don't think she 100% believes it. I think she's convincing herself that she is, because again, like you said, she understands that, you know what, maybe I effed up. You know, maybe me getting with the married man is not gonna work. Mm-hmm. And maybe I should fall back. I feel like the emotion takes over more so than the facts. Mm-hmm. For me, that's what I think.
You know what? Off that too, there was a key conversation between her and Tasha where mm-hmm. she says, "We both don't know what James is capable of." Yeah. I think at that point was mm-hmm. where she's like, "You know what? He might have done this then."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's that.
Yeah.
It's done.
Is anyone surprised that Keisha came back?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, we just kind of, I don't know, we felt it. It was like she couldn't have gone out like that. And had Tommy really done something to her, I think that they would have shown it. They haven't been afraid mm-hmm. to show anything, you know, thus far. So I think we were all expecting her to come back. But that was a moment, wasn't it?
The real question is what's going to happen between Tommy and Keisha.
Definitely.
Because I felt something.
I put, who thinks Tommy and Keisha will smash before end of season 4?
Oh, 100%. Ooh. Yeah.
We're here.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's so bravo, guys. Bravo, writers. Yes. Let's
get
it cracking. I want that to happen. But you know why? I think also because we saw Tommy really love somebody and we saw him take away his only real love. Mm. And so, and then again, going back to season 3 again, we saw the emotions that he was having at the loss of mm-hmm. his love. Even, you know, he did it himself, but he still lost her. And it's like, we want that for him again. You know, we're rooting for Tommy again. And I think that that's just, you know, definitely, they've all made it clear. Courtney has made it clear. They don't write according to what we want as an audience. But I think it also even makes sense for his character to, you know, kind of have some sort of love or some sort of emotional type of thing again.
Petty Pablo does not agree.
Really?
I say no, because Tommy, not to say that Tommy wasn't smart before, mm-hmm. but Tommy is really, he's really perfected the business aspect, and he's very smart, he's very strategic, and now he's become, he's what Ghost was prior to Ghost getting into his feelings once Angela came. He's so smart and he's so on top of things, and he doesn't need Keisha in his life while he's trying to run a global drug, international drug company, and dealing with Dre and some of the other stuff that we're going to talk about in a second. No, don't stay away from Keisha. I say no, stay away.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, he's got to look after the empire.
Definitely.
That's number one.
I mean, he's got to make sure that
businessman over here, you know, Peter.
He's like, that's my character now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has to look after it. You know, otherwise, we have a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so FBI raids the house. Open discussion. The only question that I have is, should Angela have been allowed in the house since she is technically the mistress?
No, she should not have. And even she knows that is a conflict of interest there, especially she's shown her face to the kids and everybody else.
Yeah.
So maybe that was a mess up in the writing or something, but she should not have had been there.
I don't know if it's a mess up in the writing, but I would assume the reason why they haven't asked her as is because when you are that high up in this type of a profession, sometimes they look after you. And so they're, you know, obviously, they didn't have her be in charge of the case, but they're going to keep her because if they fire her or do something, she may leave and flee the country, or she may do something. So it's closer to keep her because they don't know all what she's capable of and what she's done. So it's smarter to let her think that she's still working. She's a part of the group, but technically she not. I believe that's how they like to screw you.
That's an interesting perspective of it. I just kind of think that whether she needed anyone's agreement or permission or not, she was going up in there regardless of what anybody had to say. So it seemed more just like very intentional on her part.
Yeah,
it's
personal again. Yeah. Like she wouldn't be able to help it.
Yeah.
She needed
to. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm
she
going.
Needed to, she needs to see for herself all these things. Because she feels like she's the fool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
You know? And so did you see the reaction on her face when she walked in and saw this deluxe apartment in the high sky? I felt like, damn, I felt that there was a moment of envy. Like, that's right. I'm staying in this apartment, and yeah, we were going to get this nice apartment, but hell, I'm staying in a one-bedroom apartment, and you, your family, your kids, y'all staying in this big-ass apartment, and so I felt envy from her.
Could have been, and she should. I mean, you know, that's a natural feeling, but you're not the chick. Yeah. You're not that one. So it's like, you know, get up out of...
I never thought I would hear you say...
I mean, yes.
I just...
Yeah, exactly. Keep talking. You're like, because you like it. You like me going in on Angela.
I do. Keep it up. But the rating of the house, again, Tasha... She did have a moment to herself later where she, you know, had a moment where she broke down, but she's very poised and she's always on top of things. And that's the one thing that you have to give her credit for, because she know that it wouldn't do any good to beat her down. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The whole FBI is there. Why would she do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She calmed Keisha down as well. So I just thought that moment with the raiding of the house showed how calm and poised Tasha was and how unprofessional and unpoised Angela was. Mm-hmm. You know, she threw the dirt at her when she says
the loaded gun.
Yeah, she mentioned the loaded gun, and she also mentioned the bed bugs. Mm-hmm. which was a little shade, but she completely got under Angela's skin. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I'm being petty, I feel like Team Tasha won. She got points for that one.
Especially with what she's given. She can't physically go at Angela. Yeah. She's in the lesser sort of position at that moment. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I'm going to get you the best way that I know how. And I still think that she won out of all of that. Like, she shook Angela. Mm-hmm. And then Raina shook Angela when she said what she said to mm-hmm. her. You know, why did you do this? Why, you know, you said you wanted us to live with you. You know, that whole thing. You saw Angela get emotional. So she's kind of losing it anyway. You know, mm-hmm. that's the perspective at least.
And... at this point, I think everybody in the FBI and the task force knows Angela's business.
Exactly. And that's why
the FBI was eating it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were trading shots. And as I don't know if it was a comical relief, but as they were trading shots, you saw one of the officers' face.
He was that look.
Yeah.
That guy was great. That was right. Great, by the way. I love that moment. I thought that was great.
So then, you know, them throwing out the personal information there, what's not going to stop somebody and be like, hey, I heard this about Angela. Mm. We should investigate her, too. And then it'll start down that path.
Yeah. I just think Angela's toast.
I think
she's toast, because by the time Proctor is absolutely going to call her to the witness stand, and he is going to, I don't want to say slut shame, but he's going to make her out to be like she is the biggest whore on the planet, because she was messing with Greg and she was messing with Ghost. He's going to insinuate where they messing around at the same time. He's going to totally make her look unstable.
Ooh, you should be a lawyer. Oh, man. Okay.
I mean, that's, to me, I feel like that's the only mm-hmm. way that it can go. Yeah. And in complete honesty, you know, I'll mention this again probably in my my predictions, mm-hmm. but I feel like there's nowhere for Angela to go except either out of the country mm-hmm. or get killed.
Yeah.
For real. Like, there's no return. I don't know. All right, next.
All right.
damn that. Yep.
So your take. Okay, so Tariq kidnapped, the ransom. Tasha is dealing with Ghost in jail. And so what's your take on Dre coming to go and get Tariq, and the plan is to pretend like it was a joke?
I was not a fan. I think
me neither.
I think the writers had a great idea ending that with season 3. I don't know how the writing process works, but I think as they started season 4, maybe they thought we've got too much on our plate that we are trying to do with Ghost in jail, the business. So if they continue on with this kidnapping thing, they don't know where to lead it to, which I think they ended up calling everything a joke. If they continued it on, I think this season would have been even more even more grimy and deep. But as far as sending the text message saying, hey, everything was a joke, I just think they just kind of like brushed it off at that point. So
I think that it's beyond just what happened to Tariq. I think it's not the writing. I think it's beyond that. You had to get away for Dre to get deeper into this. You had to figure out a way, because we see what's happening with Dre. We see he's now, you know, Ghost has put him in charge of the club Truth, and he's getting in deeper. So you need, so what's happening with him, just from what I see, is to me, that whole story of like Tariq getting, you know, the ransom thing, because that was so big, but it happened for a small amount of time, that it was kind of like, okay, that was nothing. So to me, the bigger storyline was Dre getting involved and now having to pay Kanan and the rest of the, crew.
Yeah, so he's paying them $45,000 a week, which, you know, like Dre said, that's, he's basically has to smuggle $50,000 without them knowing. Mm-hmm. So that's already a sign of danger, because now that Tommy is in charge, Tommy is pretty much on his game. So at some point, Tommy's going to find out. So I think you and I agree that was not a smart idea for him to interject by imposing the money.
Well, it was smart to save his butt. Yeah, but okay, so let me ask you, Alex, knowing Tommy's character, and you look at Tommy, I know you obviously watched the first episode. So Tommy's face when Dre gets into the elevator and he was just like, like, you know, you can kind of tell, like, okay, I don't believe you, but like, what's up? He was like, yeah, well, good looking out, Dre. Right. What does that mean for your business partner? When do you take that for Tommy to, what is he feeling right there?
Well, I think that Tommy's instincts of caution are correct for obvious reasons. And I think that it was more, you could see actually what was going on more when the elevator closed and Dre collapsed.
He was the one who was like,
oh, sweating, my God, I can't believe I didn't get shot right there, you know? So,
right.
I think Tommy's instincts are correct.
Yeah.
I do believe that Tommy knows that Dre's lying. I do believe that he knows Dre's lying. And I even thought about Tasha. Tasha has referenced whether if Kanan is still alive, because when they were both asking whose arm was that, like Tariq's story didn't fully add up. And for me, although I agree with you, I'm going to disagree, because I think the bigger picture was, okay, my child's home, whatever, who cares? That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And then Tommy didn't want to scare Tasha anymore. So Tommy is thinking, yeah, I don't know, you're lying, but right. I'm going to watch you. And I think what Tommy did was he had Julio have his girl Sue work into the bar to watch Dre. I believe that was something that was planned. I mean, Sue, Julio,
randomly,
right. And like you said, random. Something always happens for a reason. So I believe that Tommy put Julio's girl in to watch Andre.
That was a great move, because later on in episode two, Tommy even double checked with Dre again. Like, all right, so tell me the truth. What's the who's who is Slim? And he's like, man, nothing. Man is back. We all good. Mm-hmm. So he just brushed it off again. But Tommy's still like, all right, I still need to find out what actually happened.
You know what's interesting? It seems like this is Ghost 2.0. And a lot of that term has been used, I think, last season. But I'm starting to see kind of how it's matching up. Like, remember, as season one, I think they referred to it a lot, where the whole setup of Ghost, he set up Kanan, right? Mm-hmm. And so he's a good guy. Ultimately, you can see that Ghost is a good guy. He just, you know, he wants to be successful. He wants to look out for his family. And at one point, he was running his drug thing or whatever, but he wanted to ultimately get out of that and run like a straight life. Mm-hmm. Good guy. Mm-hmm. Dre, good guy, right? Ultimately, he's a good guy, but it seems like the setup is coming to where he's going to set his boss, just like Ghost set up his boss, Kanan. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's moving toward, you know, setting Ghost up. And I don't like certain things that he's doing. Mm-hmm. I know he's put in a position where he's kind of got to play both sides, but I just don't like it. I don't like that betrayal.
Before I give my theory of Dre, I want to now go over, because another problem that I can see why Dre felt this way, but it just doesn't make sense. So now we go to Tommy, Pitar, and you guys' storyline, where now you guys are going to not only move the drugs, but you guys are going to move the drugs in a club. So
let's backtrack a little bit. Let's talk about how it actually started at the end of season 3, which I thought was so cool.
That was
that's a very intricate part, because Tommy comes up to Pitar and he's like, "How do you like the fact? You know, how do you feel that? You know what I'm saying? Like Milan is playing you to the left like that in front of everybody." The whole setup was, remember, that was G. Tommy said to Ghost, "Let me handle it. If we're going to get Milan, let me do it." I got this. And he went to Pitar and set that up beautifully, you know what I mean, for them to have this really great relationship moving forward, or business relationship moving forward. So from that, now we come to, you know, instantly Tommy and Pitar doing their thing. So go ahead.
The first question is, we see Pitar in the barbershop, he's getting his haircut, and he says that he is still sticking around because he was advised to watch over Ghost's legal woos. Who is the person that Pitar is referring to? Is it the other guy that you were seen with when they finished killing Milan? Is that the guy who you're referencing? Who informed
you?
Okay.
Yes.
What is that
character? Bratislav.
Okay. What's his character's name?
Bratislav.
Practice.
Gotcha. I think Tommy said it like really fast.
Okay. Okay. Got that. So, what did you guys?
He was like my number two.
Okay. Of, yeah. Yeah.
You know. Okay. That's the guy we're talking about, right?
So then, my other question is: if the deal that was made last season, the deal was only to take Milan down, not for you to be a part of the of Tommy's organization.
Well, if you recall, the last scene that Tommy and Pitar have, it's after Ghost walks off.
I remember that, huh?
Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, did you tell him we're going to sell drugs in his club? He's like, don't worry, I got that. Right. He got that. So you know, that was... It was discussed that we were going to run things together. Mm-hmm.
So then, why did Tommy ask in the barbershop, referencing something about why you're still here, and then you said that
because
you were
I was supposed to cover the operation from back home.
Gotcha. Okay.
And he was supposed to run things in New York. Because of Ghost's legal problems, it was recommended that I stay and just make sure that everything's cool until the setup, and then...
Mm-hmm. What's you guys' take? Do you guys like the fact that Pitar is here with Tommy running this international...
Answer very carefully. Very careful. Tread lightly.
Yes.
Okay. I'm scared of Pitar, so just, I will. Just tread lightly. No, me and Alex are cool, but me and Pitar, I'm like... Yeah, I'm kidding. No, but I actually like it for the simple fact... I always root for the underdog, and Pitar to me was like the underdog. You can see clearly, like, there were certain scenes where Milan was like, get out. You know what I mean? Just being
right.
So...
Bullying him.
Totally rude. Punked and just... Yeah,
all the time.
Totally pumped, and it was like, okay, you know what I'm saying? It was just like, it sucked. But so Pitar is totally the underdog, and it makes me feel, even though ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about drugs, so no to drugs, okay? But very bad. But if talking about specifically the partnership and the way things are going to go now, I'm kind of down with that, and I like the trajectory of it. It's just a little bit different, and you know, different from what we've seen already, and it alleviates Ghost. You know, this is what he's wanted this whole time. So, I'm interested to see where it's gonna go.
I like that. One thing I did not like off rip with Milan, he didn't want to work with everybody. He was the boss type. You do this, or I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
That's it. And then, of course, in any type of partnership, that's not how you guys grow and get things done. When it comes to your character, you have established a relationship with Tommy, so now Tommy's obviously got Ghost, so now with the three of you guys, at some point you'll be able to do bigger and better things.
And Pitar did say something about it's always better to let the employees know what workers what's going on.
Yes,
but that's cute and all, but let's keep it real. He worked for Milan, Milan, and when Ghost hired this security firm, their intentions was one thing, and then it wound up being something else, and Ghost and Tommy got into one hell of a situation. So I can't fully trust Pitar because his affiliation with Milan. So I can't say that I truly trust Pitar, because why are you here?
Yeah, I feel you, Bam. But
I like you, Bam, because you think Bam completely really, different than me. But yes,
he does. That's so he gives true. You give a great so nice. Side to all these different things. But this is the reason that I feel, because you said, why is he here? The reason I feel like that is exactly what Tommy said. He said we can both be happy and both be rich. It's sort of like getting under the thumb, getting up from under the thumb. I'm like, y'all feel me? You understand what I'm saying? So that's sort of the reason I feel like this is finally giving him some power. So how does that feel? How does your character feel going from that sort of like inferior position to now all of a sudden being, you know, sort of co-heads with Tommy?
Well, I think that I think the relationship that was being established with Milan and then my character and Tommy was this, you know, two brothers lobbying for father's love, you know, and we were both trying to be his official number two.
Yeah.
And I could feel that slipping away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was really obvious that it was slipping away.
Yeah.
So I think that the fact that my character wasn't killed and he's here and now he's, you know, running the game with Tommy, I think he couldn't, you know, this is pretty good situation
for yeah him. Yeah, right. So I had a question about that scene where
that was good.
Yeah, I like I'm that still not,
that no but the reason that is good, because I can totally see that, because both Tommy and Pitar have been in situations where they're not always number one. You know, you got Ghost, who's the big, you know, power.
Yeah, we were both number two so, in our respective
at a point.
I get it teams. And I'm almost sold, but nope. I'm sticking to can't trust them, because bad always comes with this type of life.
So the question that I had is, at the meeting that you all had with your staff, and then Tommy said, he was kind of stepping up. He was like, yeah, I'm in charge now or whatever. What does that mean exactly? Because does that mean that he's just in charge in his region and you're in charge when you go back home in your region? Or what does that mean? What is the what do you call it?
The hierarchy.
Thank you.
I believe that basically where everybody before looked to Ghost to make the final calls and the like the major decisions on where to move, how much, what, where, what. That's Tommy now. So everybody's just, you know, it's like the CEO was removed and now everybody just moves up a notch. And I think everybody just has to know that, like, what Tommy is saying is, you know, the big questions go to me. I make the big decisions now. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to look to anyone else. It's me.
And then speaking of positions, so Julio is now head of distro.
Yeah.
And Andre has a problem with that because, you know, he's been around for 2 months and he thinks he deserves to be head distro. Mm-hmm.
And the reason he feels at least considered for it, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason reason why we can feel, and you may not, but we can feel, I think a lot of the audience can feel where Dre is coming from, is because we've seen the dirt that he's really done. Julio, we've seen him be involved and stuff like that, but Dre has, like, recently, like, he helped out with Ruiz. He helped out with, you know, the Milan situation. Like, he really did his thing. And remember, he was trying to get in with Tommy. Mm-hmm. He was kind of like, I don't understand why you're not feeling me. You know what I'm saying? Why we have this kind of beef. But I think that's why he was really feeling like, yeah, it's only been a couple months, but I deserve that spot.
But that's different because you have formed alliances with people in these certain areas does not mean that you should be the head of things. Because now let me go into my theory of Dre. He is toast. He has five bullets pointing to him. He has on one side, he has Junebug and Kanan. On the other side, he has Tasha, he has Tommy, and he has Ghost. Five bullets that are all going toward him. And he's playing both sides.
Yeah.
Very dangerous.
He's playing both sides very dangerously. When we speak about Kanan, the reason that Dre is working with Kanan is because he fears him.
Definitely.
He's scared shitless. Yes. Dre's problem was he should have killed Kanan the moment that he saw him and realized that he was out of jail. He should have killed him, because now that Kanan has come back from a tumultuous, almost being burned, he gives no F's and he's ready to take out anybody who's going to get into the way of him trying to take down a Ghost. And then Junebug just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, Tommy knows that he's lying about Slim. Let's go back to season three when Raina said, Tariq is hanging out with Slim. Yeah, he was a friend of Sean, and he's a friend of Dre, and he used to know Dad and Tommy back when they were kids. Ding, ding, ding. That's why Tasha keeps asking about Kanan, because it only makes sense that that person probably is. So with all these five targets, homie, you are going to be dead soon. Mm-hmm. And he does not deserve to be that, because Tommy can't trust him.
And I think, too, he's not sure what side he wants to be on.
Because he's straddling both sides of the fence.
Yeah, I agree. And then it's scary to think he was loyal to Kanan at first, all the way. And then he became loyal to Ghost. Mm-hmm. And then now he's loyal to Kanan again, but still trying to protect Ghost. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely messy. Mm-hmm. Wishy-washy.
Speaking of messy, another person who I feel... is in the same boat. I feel like it's the same script, different cast, is Sandoval. Sandoval is pretty much Dre on the other side. Sandoval is playing both sides. You had the whole Lobos situation. Mm-hmm. He killed Gregory Knox. Mm-hmm. And now you have Assistant U.S. Attorney John Mack in. Mm-hmm. And so Sandoval is also scared shitless, and I also noticed that when he's lying or when he feels some type of guilt, he starts to tweedle, he starts to click his thumbs.
Yeah,
so
he noticed that too. Yeah. I noticed his. I think with Sandoval, he feels I think he's also a good guy. He just got caught up with the whole Lobos thing or whatever. And now he's under the thumb, or he was under the thumb, but now he's kind of so far in that he's got to cover up his own tracks or whatever. But you can tell on his face that there's some sort of guilt. And you know, there's two times that I caught it when he was having the conversation with, I think, the assistant, right? Yeah. Or, you know.
John Mack.
Yes. Shane, right? Yeah.
Song.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, got it. Yes. Yeah. So when he was asked if he thought that James was guilty, and he had like a little hesitant, you know, kind of mm-hmm. moment where you can tell he's just feeling something. And then also in court mm-hmm. when he wasn't granted his bail.
So question, what are the pros and cons of Sandoval actually keeping the gun? He kept the gun once he got the call that Ghost. And I know you guys said we have some minutes, but I'm going to try and rush through this as quick as possible. What are the pros and cons of him keeping the gun? Should he keep it? Should he have tossed it?
But if he
tosses it, then that clears James, because there's no proof, there's no evidence.
I think it's a card he's got to. He feels it's a card he's got to hold on to mm-hmm. for now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I think.
Because with the fact that his fingerprints has already touched the outside of the window, if he stashes a gun and the gun is found somewhere, there could always be some type of reason to say that he scraped the serial. He could have done something. So I feel like it's smarter for him to keep the gun in order to save his ass and to take down Ghost regarding that situation. As far as the John Max, who's now the head of both, who's the both head of James's case and the Teresi case, is there anyone that's safe now with Mac now in charge of running both cases?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's to be revealed.
This character is very confident in what he does. He even makes the Proctor sweat.
Yeah.
Little bit, mm-hmm. we've seen. So mm-hmm. that'll be interesting.
Do you see a correlation between the white guy, Teresi, who's also in jail? I feel like he's in there for a reason.
Sure.
So I feel like, will he and Ghost, were they butt heads? Will they work together? What do you guys think?
I think Ghost is going to have to kill him at some point.
Speaking of jail, I think that there is going to be a correlation and some reason that they come together, and something is going to come of that because, like I said, everything is for a reason. But shout out and RIP to Charlie Murphy. That was awesome. Man. That was really, really awesome thing that they had him in there. You know, night-night, St. Patrick, night-night. It was great, really great to see.
Yeah, it was really great to see Charlie Murphy. And I remember when we saw it, I was like, oh, damn, you know, because he's gone, rest in peace. But I have to admit, I don't like his character. There's something I don't know if it's because he's just naturally funny. When you see Charlie, he's just funny. You know, he's a funny person. Mm-hmm. But there's something about the character that I find a Mitch. It's like it's
sort of like a dirty cop. I mean, in there, and like, yes. I don't know if it's dirty is the word, but you know, he's sort of a cop or mm-hmm. some sort of, you know, authority figure. So he's mm-hmm. like, you're a cop killer, you know?
Yeah, I think it also lies on that, you know, Ghost is going into prison as a cop killer.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he's not going to get any love from the guards.
Right.
Exactly.
Like,
Look how they sent him. Sent that episode off, like, beat him, like, hard. Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Final thing, open discussion. What's your take on the courtroom scene when we clearly thought that he was going to get bail and then he did not?
Yeah, that was a disappointment.
Ghost was shocked.
Yeah. Ghost,
he did not see that coming.
Right.
That was a great moment.
It was so great.
He just like looked at Proctor like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Why do I pay you this much? A million other things. I mean, I'm sure he was certain he was going home.
I didn't think he was going home.
No, I didn't think he was going to go home either, but it was like the hope was there. Mm-hmm. And then it was also a moment where, of course, Ghost is going to get out, right? Because everything always happens really well for Ghost, mm-hmm. you know, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, mm-hmm. no, not this time, you know? And I think just the reaction from Ghost himself and then Tasha, that was really great. Yeah. Great scene.
I remember I was sitting right beside you at the screening, and I was like, nope, he's definitely not getting off. Just because if they let him off in the first episode, then the season would be rushed through, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought keeping him there will keep us on our toes to see what's up next.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Chung, you know, like I think bringing him on is an excellent, you know, addition to the show as well. That was really awesome too. So,
And we need to wrap. I just want to ask him one question because Alex, this is your first role.
Mm-hmm.
So the audition, like, so when you auditioned for it, was it for one episode? And then how did it transition from you being on one or two episodes last year to now a reoccurring role? That's the final question, and then I promise I'll wrap.
Final question. So I had originally auditioned for Milan's character.
Okay.
And I had put a tape, I'd sent it to them, and from what I heard, I was, you know, shortlisted. It was down to me and some other guy who obviously ended up being Cal, mm-hmm. who played Milan. Once they gave the role to him, I thought nothing of it. That's like every other role that you hear no from. Yeah. So you just, you know, get it out of your head and move on. And then, it was like a month and a half later, I heard from producers that they were writing me a role.
How amazing is that?
Yes.
Wow.
And so, you know, December 4th, I had to be in New York for table read, and I stayed in New York and it was just like, it was, if you go back to episode 6, it was a really small, like, sort of cameo thing where I had to get the gun from the safe mm-hmm. when Milan revealed himself to Ghost, and I thought that was kind of going to be it, mm-hmm. and then maybe mm-hmm. one more episode, and then it just, like, every episode, it was just, like, a little more, and I just kept reading it. I would read the scripts backwards because I was like, oh, I know I'm going to get killed.
Yeah,
I just want to know how. And then it was just like, it never happened. So when I see, like, I have a line and I'm not dead, I was like, all right.
Yeah. So when you went into audition as Milan, did you do a character voice as well?
I didn't even go in. I just put it on tape because I wasn't in New York. So okay. I couldn't. So they just had me put it on tape and I went in, you know, I did the full accent and everything and the mannerisms and all of that kind of stuff. But
you have an incredible accent. It's incredible. I thought I was going to meet that accent, you know, today. I mean, it was really, really great. Yeah.
Can you use your accent and write to that camera and let them know where you could be found on social media?
Okay, so first of all, we can find me on Instagram. It's where you take a picture and you post it and you tagging with these hashes. I don't know what this is, but Alexander Popovich _ or Twitter. You can tweet me, Alexander Pops. That's it.
I love it.
That was great. That's it. That was great.
We don't have time for predictions unless you give a prediction while you give your
app. I do not want to give a prediction. I'll wait till the next episode. But I want to shout out to Cornelia, who's not here with us anymore. But we love you, girl. We also want to shout out to Janisha, who will be here next week. We hope. Janisha. And you guys can find me at Robin Ayers on all of my social media platforms.
Yeah.
Twitter and Instagram at Be Your Own Dad. Go check me out.
And you can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to season 4 of Power, the best show on TV here on AfterBuzz TV. Best show, yes. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we have a great season lined up for you here at AfterBuzz with After Shows. We have more guests. And
stay tuned. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. It's about to be lit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you guys for watching.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After Shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.